all. He, over and over again, brings that theme out. I think of what he says, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he says, "You see our calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." In the next chapter, Paul confesses his own weakness. He said, "I am among you in Corinth in fear and trembling." And he says, "And I was with you in weakness, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, not utilizing human persuasion methods." But rather, he says, and that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that my preaching would be in demonstration of the Spirit and His power. In the next chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talks about all those that serve the Lord. And he says, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if ye received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Anything that we could call giftedness in our lives or anyone else's life comes from Him. That giftedness He gives that makes us differ. He says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that great resurrection chapter, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He says, "I am what I am by the grace which was bestowed upon me, and it was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." In other words, I worked hard. I worked over the others. I worked more abundantly than they did, over and above. Yet it wasn't really me. It was God that enabled me by His grace. In his second letter to the Corinthian church, he says, "I am not sufficient for these things that God has given me to minister." He says, "But my sufficiency is of God." In other words, the ministry that God blessed him with, he was not competent for in and of himself. But he found everything that he needed in the enabling grace of God. He talks about the fact that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be seen to be of God and not of us. He says in that 12th chapter, when three times he prayed that God would take what he called this thorn in the flesh from me, this affliction, the physical affliction, whatever it was, and God refused to do so, but rather taught him that His grace was sufficient for him. And Paul ended up learning the lesson that he can actually boast in his weakness, because through his weakness, God's strength is revealed, and God's strength is made perfect. So there's that paradox, strength through weakness. And that's what the Christian life is all about. In fact, living the Christian life is not incumbent upon us, the burden of that falls upon the Christ that lives the life in and through us. It's Him. He is the Christian life, and He lives that Christian life. He's the power of the Christian life. He's everything that the believer needs. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, he knew the secret of this strength through weakness. Once he was complimented by a friend regarding the impact of his mission. And Hudson answered and said, "It seemed to me that God looked over the whole world to find one who He thought was weak enough to do His work. And when He found me, He said, 'He's weak enough, He'll do.'" All God's giants, Taylor said, have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. In other words, they recognize that strength is not in and of themselves, that they're weak, but God's strong. And they reckoned on His strength, and they depended upon Him. What this means is that every single believer sitting here today needs to kill pride. We need to put to death the pride of life that is so resident naturally in us. We need to realize our own inability. That honestly, it's not just triteness, it's not just false humility, but we can't do anything without Him. We can't. And so we need to learn to depend upon the enabling power, strength of the Holy Spirit of God step by step in every moment of every day. That's humbling. But I would say this to those of you that may not be in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. You may have a head knowledge of it. You may even think that you're a child of God, but if you've never been born again, you're not. That's how you get into His family. And it's a real pride killer even to enter His family. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved." In other words, it has nothing to do with your status in life. It has nothing to do with what you can perform. For by grace, there it is, God's enabling strength, God's gift, God's free gift, undeserved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is, through dependence not on yourself and what you can do or anyone else, but on Him and Him alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a pride killer to come to Christ. It is the gift of God. Salvation is one and only one way. It's a free gift. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, for a person to come to Christ, it's a hard pill to swallow. You got to recognize and admit your own helplessness. You have to come to a point where you recognize that there is nothing that you bring to the table that you can offer God to buy your way into His good graces. You have to completely depend upon the perfect and the complete work of God in the flesh. We call Him Jesus. Completely dependent upon Him. And you know what He does? He takes a weak, helpless sinner and He transforms them into a child of God with all the life and power of God resident in them. And He takes weak things and makes them strong when they depend upon Him. He's strong to save. We're incapable. He's strong to enable you to live and to serve the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in prayer, shall we? And as we do so, just before we close in prayer, as you have your head bowed and your eyes closed, have you admitted and recognized your personal weakness?